Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as I open your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to be with us, to give us the guidance, the understanding, and the knowledge of this your word, Father, in the way of truth, so that we cannot be deceived and led into the weakness that is being taught today. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study, and I ask you, Father, to bless us with knowledge, Father, so that we can go forth to help others to come out of darkness and into the light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in His name, Father, that sweet, precious name of Jesus, that I pray. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the 21st chapter of Matthew this morning. And we're going to be studying here about the Lord's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Here in verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord has need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a coat the foal of an ass. 6. And disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. 7. And brought the ass and the coat, and put on them their clothes, and they set in their own. 8. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. 9. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now, we're going to stop here for just a minute, because we're going to take a look at these and see what is really and what can be brought out of these nine verses. And this event is traditionally known as the triumphal entry, when Jesus officially offers himself to the nation of Israel as her long-awaited Messiah. However, in many ways, it was far from a triumph, for the day ended in Jesus' public prediction of his rejection by his own people. We know that it was his own people that rejected him. Once they did start teaching about the Lord Jesus and Jesus' teaching to the Gentile people, the Gentiles received him with great multitudes. Oh yes, there was always some, naturally. And we know that his own people were the ones that followed him from place to place, trying to cut down and bring his teaching to things that would be vain in order to get him rejected. We know that this Bethpage was a village near Bethany, about a mile east of Jerusalem, and apparently hidden from it by the summit of the Mount of Olives, which was the hill on the east of Jerusalem. The quotation in verse 5 is a combination of Isaiah 62:11 and Zechariah 9:9, and was taken successfully from the ancient Greek translation of the Old Testament. Hosanna is the translation of a Hebrew term meaning please save. You see, when you say Hosanna to God, you are talking about please save, and occurs in 2 Samuel 14:4 and Psalms 118 verse 25, and from the following verse of this Psalms, the acclamation, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, is taken, riding on the colt of an ass, marked the official entry of Israel's kings. Thus Jesus arrives in the full declaration of his kingship. And you know, we need to understand these things, that he is doing everything he should be doing in order to let them know who he is. But they are not understanding this, and they should have been able to, because they had the old scripture and all that predicted all of this. Now, as we continue on here with verse 10, and when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? They couldn't figure out who he was. Of course, he was coming now with an entourage following him, some coming ahead of him, because they were also making a way, laying down a way for him to come. Some putting their clothing down, and some putting branches down. But they were leading more or less into the city in a great way. And 11, and the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. 12, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and brought in and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. 14. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. 15. When the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. You see, they're not wanting anything by him at all, said or done, for and to him. Now, 16, and said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, Have ye never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? You see, in Mark 11:15 through 19, and Luke 19:45-47, a similar cleansing is recorded at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, indicating his disdain for the corruption of organized religion, which lacked purity of life and the power of God. In light of the seriousness of what he had come to do, Jesus could not tolerate such gross perversion of the temple, meaning the whole temple area on Mount Moriah, including all the precincts and courts, money changers, temple dues could be paid only in sacred coinage, and it was necessary to change one's money. The selling of doves was for the purpose of sacrifice. This exchange, though, became a source of extortion for the family of the high priest. You see, he's using it for his own reason and his own purpose, and extorting more. He's using it for the wrong reason. Who personally controlled it? In reality, the atmosphere amounted to a public bazaar. It is written in his condemnation, the Lord quotes from the Greek version, Isaiah 56:7 and Jeremiah 7:11. Bethany was a village on the eastern shoulder of the Mount of Olives, a little more than a mile east of Jerusalem. And it was the home of his friend Lazarus and Lazarus' sister. Now, as we go in here and pick up with 17, you know, when he has been through the temple now and all, and he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. 18. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. You know, we can also find this in Mark 11:12-14. The fig tree fruit generally appears in February, followed by leaves, which are not formed until late spring. So there should normally have been some fruit on the tree. The fig tree was often used as a symbol of the nation of Israel. And when Jesus literally came upon a barren fig tree, he used the incident to fully illustrate Israel's desperate condition. The curse, let no fruit grow forever, results in the almost immediate withering of the entire tree. While trees are non-moral, they, like all of nature, are subject to the word of Christ. The disciples marveled at how this could happen so fast. But you know, that's just like you and I. We are subject to the word of Almighty God. And it don't matter what we want to make out of it. We can make it say a lot of things it does not say. And our lives are to be built on what it does say, the truth of the word itself, and not our beliefs, not our thoughts, or our likes, but on exactly what it says. Now, so many of us, we want to make things into what we want it to say, because as we will read the word, they will be a thought pop in our head, and most usually that's by Satan, because you see, he also knows this word, and he wants to make sure you're not getting the truth, and he'll throw something real quick in there, and you get that thought, and you keep it And the next thing you know, you're twisting and turning that word into what you want of it instead of what it is saying for you to do or to understand. Now, that's why I don't like jumping around from verse to verse all over the Bible in order to get a sermon, because that's exactly what is happening. They are making it say what they want it to say, not necessarily what it's saying, because they'll take a verse out of Hebrew and a verse out of Matthew and a verse out of one of the Old Testament books. They'll bring them out and they'll look at them and they'll add to and take away and twist and turn to make it say exactly what they want it to say. And that's why our churches have grown as weak as they have. And they're using a lot of scripture to get this weakness. And if you think they're not, just one little example. You go out here and go to most of the churches here in this county. I'll just speak about here in this county right now. And you tell them you need to be baptized, they'll baptize you without ever telling you what baptism's all about, what's happening to you when you're baptized, and they're going to baptize you according to John the Baptist baptism. And that is wrong. That has been fulfilled. You see, that was the baptism under the law. We are no longer under law. We are under grace and the New Testament that's in the blood of Jesus. Now, and we are to be baptized in Jesus' name, not in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. All that's the same. No, it's not. That's why we are told that there is no other name whereby we must be saved. And we're not told to put all of this on. We're told to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything for you and I has to go through. Yes, we have it all living in us now. But it's there because of him and his blood. He went back to heaven so you and I could have the Holy Spirit. You remember he told us that himself. He said if he didn't go back, that we wouldn't be having the Holy Spirit. But he also told us, he said, if I go back, I'm going to send him back to you. And he did. Jesus telling them, his disciples, when they saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. That shows just how little we are believing today. Our faith has grown weak and weaker as the church weakened and began going in the wrong ways. Just think about it. We became weaker and weaker, and we sat back, and we let one woman that didn't even have children in school. She had one daughter. Her daughter was grown, sitting on a bar stool drinking beer with her. Take prayer out of our school. Think about it. And we sit back and let the evil ones, and they were just a few of them, bring all this evil upon our land. And taking our government off of the Word of God and doing away the Lord Jesus Christ, they even took his name away from our military police and our military chaplains. They are not allowed anymore to end their prayers in Jesus' name. Think about this a little bit, and you will see how we have grown away from Almighty God and His Word. We don't want to spend the time anymore. Oh, yes, every once in a while I'll go to church. Every once in a while I'll study His Word. But I'm not going to go out of my way to do it. And I'm not going to set other things aside so I can study His Word. No. You see, and that is wrong. He is supposed to be first in your life. Is he? No, he isn't. You let everything else come before you'll even get into his word or take the time for the study of God's word or take the time and spend in prayer also. And you're going to stand before him one day, and you're going to hear him say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. And the reason for that is because you would not take the time to have fellowship with him, nor his word. You don't hide things from him. He knows. He knows every intent and every thought that comes into your mind. Now, he tells us that we can have whatsoever we shall ask in prayer, if we believe. And if we are believing, then we can and shall receive. 23. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, and said, by what authority dost thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? Anything to tear him down and to cause people not to believe. And I want you to really stop and think, because, like I said, most don't. Who was it that was actually going against him? It was the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him and wanting to ask these questions. They see these things done and come about, knowing that only the power of God could do these things, yet they're wanting to ask him who's given him the authority. They should have known. Now, if you go and you pray for somebody to be healed from sickness or disease, and it's done, those that see it done, should they know where your authority came from? Yes, because they know that we as human beings don't carry that power on our own. But we are given the authority to use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the Holy Spirit living in us in order to use the power and all through us to perform the things that needs to be done and the things that we have called upon the Lord to do. 24. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. Oh, now we're going to be dealing with him. The 25, the baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or of men? Now you see, this is the way men and mankind without the Spirit working with them. This is what happened to among them. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not then believe him? 26. But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. 27. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. You see, because of their reasoning within themselves, now they're telling him, we cannot tell. Now, and he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. You can't answer me. I'm not going to tell you either. Now, 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards, he repented and went. Then he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? This is a question he was asking them. Which one of them? Done the right thing and done what his father asked. They say unto him, the first. And Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Because you see, they are not too proud to go and ask for repentance. They're not too proud to go and seek a way out. The ones he's talking to there are. Now, 32. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterwards that you might believe him. He's telling them exactly why. And today, this is prevalent among our churches today. And it's a shame. And we are losing more and more every day because we will not accept the truth of God's word. We want to continue making it our own. It's not my own. I can own it because I can know it and I can believe it and I can use it. But it's God's word. It's not mine. It is his word. And then it becomes a part of me and my life, as I will stand on it and use it. Now, 33. This is another parable. Here, another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it around about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen, then went into a far country. 34. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruit of it. 35. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another, and stoned another. 36. And again he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. 37. But last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. You know this parable he's using here is actually exactly what has happened with mankind. Our old prophets of the Old Testament and all that God sent into the world to guide mankind, that's exactly what they did to them. They took them, they beat them. They killed them in different ways, and they would not follow. And then, here in 37, but last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. And God sent his son. Did they reverence him? But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord therefore the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? We are told what's going to happen to all of us that rejects and refuses to accept his son and to follow him and not to keep and follow his word. He's told us what's going to happen to us. And here in this prophecy, 41, they say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruit of their seasons. Jesus has told you and I that those that will not follow him and his word is going to wind up in hell and eventually that lake of fire. 42. And Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And Jesus is the cornerstone of the church, his church. There should only be one church. Not all these different churches we've got out there. You see, man built them. And they built walls to separate themselves from others. Well, that's because they don't believe like us. But you see, we are all to believe the same way. That's why we are taught in the Word of God that we are to reach unity. And that unity in His church. The name we put on a church don't mean anything, or shouldn't. It does now because they built these walls, these denominations that don't want anything to do with each other because they all teach different. And none of them are actually teaching the truth of God's word today. His church that we are to be a part of. And where do we find his church? What doctrine is it? I'm holding it here in my hand. It is called the Holy Bible, the Word of Almighty God. Man even wanted to play with it and make all kinds of versions out of it. You better be careful, very careful. Now, 43. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. 44. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. We're being warned about that stone, and that stone today is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the cornerstone of the church. Now, and if you are part of a ministry, make sure that ministry belongs to him and his church. Not some other one, but him and his, and that he is the cornerstone. He is the main object of that church. Now, 45, and when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. And he did. It was them he was speaking about. 46. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. They're still not accepting him as the Savior or as the Messiah. Even those that are following him and believing in him, they are looking at him as a prophet. And he is doing the work of a prophet while he's here on this earth. But he is also doing the work of the Savior and the Messiah. Doing the work of actually who and what he is. Now, we have come to the end of chapter 21, and we're going to stop here for this morning. And I pray that you have received something to help you this morning, to help each and every one to find the Lord Jesus Christ in your life truly and the right way, and that you are making a way to be in the study of God's Word and not going without and doing things your own way, but that you are putting Him first in your life. Because that is what it's going to take for you to make heaven your home. Listen to me. Because you see, the words I'm giving you are not mine, they're His. You can find most all of this right there in that holy word of Almighty God. I'm not smart enough, and I know this. That's why I need the Holy Spirit speaking through me. And that's why you know that I ask for him every service for him to come forward, to guide me, to speak through me, so that my words are not mine, but they are his. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we have closed your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit, Father. And Father, I thank you for these times that you have given me where we can come together for our study of your word, for prayer, and to be together in fellowship and love one for the other. And Father, we pray for Israel now. We pray for them to have peace. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. In this land of ours, Father, that has walked so far away. Had no excuse whatsoever, but they let a handful that are sitting in offices in our high places in our government bring all this evil upon this land and its people, making them to believe things that are good, making them believe that those good things are evil and that the evil things are good. Father, I pray that they be removed from office and replaced with those that are walking in righteousness, that love you, that love the Lord Jesus Christ, loves your church and your people and this country, and will work with us to bring this land to repentance, Father, and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with all as we separate this day to do the things that we need to do, Father. And Father, keep us all in the hollow of your hand. Keep us in health. Keep us safe. And bring us all back together again this evening, Father, at 6 p.m. and back in to your word. I ask this, Father, all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. All right, everyone. Have a good day. Bye-bye now.